Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 11th of July, recording at 9:25 p.m. Now, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets in the Asian region, it's very much the ASEAN sector, really led by the Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, and Singapore. And I find it particularly impressive to see how strongly Singapore has appreciated over the last month or more. Now, and elsewhere, China was a little bit firmer, but Japan down a fraction, Australia down a really tiny fraction. Now, in Europe, we had mixed activity. Overall, they seesawed a little bit during the day, but most of the gains occurring early. But the Spanish IBEX market was up over 1%. That was probably the best gain within Europe. And that was helped by the 10-year government bond yields moving back to something more like back under the 7% level, I think down to 6.77 last time I looked. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street seesawed a little bit, but closed down a little bit in the Nasdaq and the Dow less than half a percent, and virtually unchanged on the S&P 500. Long-dated government bond prices, quiet day here as well, a little bit firmer in Europe, a little bit softer in the US. The US dollar seesawed a little bit in a narrow range, but on the dollar index, it's slightly firmer, up a tad against the euro, which fell back to 122.38. Sterling slightly easier at 155.04. The Australian dollar is steady at 102.46. And precious metals, they were higher in here today, but fluctuating quite widely. One of the things that caused some gains to be lost this afternoon temporarily was when the minutes of the Fed last Fed meeting, the June meeting, came out, and people had been hoping that they would see some sort of comment that the Fed was about to conduct some sort of additional quantitative easing. Well, my own view on this, which I've often repeated, is that I felt that the Fed would be very happy to do nothing. They would prefer to do nothing. And the reason for that is that first it would be a partly an admission of failure on earlier policies, and they also would not wish to be seen to be favoring an incumbent president in an election year. And they'd also, well, they would all certainly come under some criticism, probably from the Republicans, if they were to engage in further forms of QE. It's also difficult to think what they could do that would actually make a difference, what they're probably not considering at all. It's probably not even on the agenda. Although Bernanke has talked the stock market up at times in the past, but what I was about to say, they'd have more effect by perhaps supporting the stock market if that had any effect in terms of beneficial impact on sentiment. That would do a little bit more than nudging already very low long-dated government bond yields slightly further downwards. So my feeling is that they won't do anything, and also with stock markets, with the U.S. stock market reasonably steady, that's another reason for them not to do anything. Now, what else to mention? Well, on those precious metals, we currently have gold up 20 cents. We've got palladium up $6.50. We've got actually platinum's down a couple of dollars, and we've got gold trading up nearly $9. It's at $1,576 and change. Very much range bound, these precious metals, as are stock markets. Long dated government bond prices also range bound, but steady within that formation. Industrial metals are a little bit firmer today. Grains and beans, this was interesting. We had downside key day reversals on corn and soybeans following the release of the anticipated USDA report, just telling us what we already knew, that there'd been some significant crop damage, particularly for corn. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously we have nervous stock markets. That's why they're largely range-bound overall. Keeping an eye on developments in Europe. We've also been getting a short-term correction of a short-term overbought situation. You can see what you want to see in this overall stock market picture in terms of the technical pattern. There are a number of people who've looked at these big ranging patterns for stock markets and said, oh, that looks toppy. And there are other people who have looked at those and said, well, that's support building at the lower side of the range. I'm slightly more in that latter camp. And there are people who say it's all terrible. And there are other people who say, look at the valuations, which keep getting better. And so you've got plenty of uncertainty and division of opinion, and that's what leads to a sideways ranging market. I would cite low interest rates as certainly a tailwind, European concerns and slow growth as very much a headwind. We should expect some more of the same, probably more sideways for a while, but I find it slightly easier to envisage a rally from current levels into the year end than the sell-off that I think a slightly larger proportion of market commentators actually fear or predict or look forward to if they're short. In terms of sectors of interest, I think really ASEAN looks strong. That's really been reflected in some of the Asian high yield funds, such as that Aberdeen Asian yield fund that I do like, equity yield fund, that I mention from time to time. But it's understandable that shares with high covered dividends are outperforming here overall in a rangy, somewhat nervous market environment. And I think that trend will continue. The autonomies are a bit of a mixed picture here, as Owen has pointed out in some of his recent reviews and does so again here today. Now, again, government bond prices, there's plenty enough fear around to keep them firm at the moment, near historically high prices for the futures and historically low yields for U.S. Treasuries, JGBs, German Bunds, UK, and UK gilts. I'll sound like a broken record in saying that I think that the long-term risk is to the upside. How could it not be, since there's not very much additional room to the downside? But there are plenty of reasons for assuming that these markets will stay reasonably firm, that is, yields stay quite low for a while longer. And we'll need to see some dynamics in the opposite direction to change my view on that over the short term. Precious metals, I find interesting. I've been saying that they look to be and should be, in terms of timing, if that trend consistency that I've referred to so often is to be maintained. In other words, we should be now in the accumulation phase following a very lengthy medium-term corrective phase, similar to what we saw following earlier accelerations to the upside. But that has yet to be confirmed. It has some supporting evidence in that precious metals have been encountering support near their lows from last year. And if you look at the ranges closely on daily charts, you'll see some upward dynamics. And there's a tendency for them to sag down more slowly, as we're seeing with gold and silver and platinum here right now, and then to spring up more quickly. The term I coined for that decades ago at the chart seminar was trampolining, coming down a little bit more slowly within the range and springing upwards quite sharply. Now, what we need to see to remain consistent with a support-building hypothesis, though, is some additional upward dynamics and relatively soon. Elsewhere, crude oil prices have steadied here overall. They were a little bit firmer today. I forgot to mention that in my introduction, but the WTI is at 86 and the Brent is just above the $100 level. These are prices that are significantly lower than the highs of earlier in the year. And so that's a favorable background for the soft global economy. And the missing ingredient is a pickup in the China-led growth economies. And I would like to see a little bit more stimulus coming from China and India, and I suspect we probably will. And currencies generally, dollar is well supported overall. The euro is the most fundamentally weak of the major currencies. The Asian currencies tend to firm against the dollar every time we go into a risk-on stock market rally phase, and to soften when we see the reverse. I think these trends will all continue here for a while longer. Now, grains and beans, or corn and soybeans, at any rate, I think we've probably seen peaks for at least the short term, evidenced by those key day reversals that we had here today. And the USDA report that I said is just telling us what we already knew. But it's coming out after, in talking about the drought, it's coming out after the heat wave, at any rate, had broken over the weekend, although there's still a shortage of rainfall in that region, and that's necessary. My belief is the damage will be greatest to the U.S. corn crop, because that pollinates during July, and so it caught the brunt of the heat wave, and that has definitely damaged the crop. And it will not be, no matter how much rain comes over the rest of the growing season, that's not going to completely offset the damage that has occurred. Soybeans could be a different matter, though. They've certainly wilted in the sunshine as well, but it's a hardy crop that gets planted a month later than corn, and it's therefore it doesn't pollinate until August. So there's still time for corn to, beg your pardon, soybeans to see a significant revival. So again, I wouldn't be surprised if we aren't at or close to a short-term, at least, top area for these grains, but I do not expect them to go back down to the lows that we saw a couple of months ago, not following this damage. And I think that's pretty much a wrap. So all the best to all of you.